Please turn your Bibles with me to Exodus 3. We'll continue with where we left off last time. So Exodus 3, verses 10 to 15. Sorry, I started a little late. My watch is a bit off. But Exodus 3, 10 to 15. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and I shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" Pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord, that we can come before you, Lord, and study your word in freedom. And God, we just pray that this morning, God, will you continue to reveal your nature to us, God, your nature in power, in glory, and in care, and the nature, Lord, in which you remember your covenant with us as well. And so, Lord, this morning, God, we humble ourselves before you, God. Lord, speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was going through this, I really felt like God really highlighted verse 14 to me. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" It's incredible when we look at this idea of I am, because through this name of I am, what God is actually doing is giving us, and really in this passage of scripture, he's giving us an incredible insight into who he is, both as God, as in the name of God, but also the nature of God. Now, also as to who he is and who he wants to be to Israel. Now, I know this is not going to be the first time in which God describes himself. We know God introduced himself to Abraham before this and Jacob and Isaac before this. But in Exodus, later on in chapter 34, it's going to be the first time he describes himself as his in his character. But this is the first time that God will reveal himself to Moses and also to Israel, later on, really, when Moses speaks to Israel. So this is the first time he introduces himself. Now, for us to understand why this is so incredible, we have to understand a few things. But first, let me just start with his name of I Am. I Am. In Hebrew, the word I Am is Haya. You know, exactly like the Cantonese for yes, you know, like this Sunday, remember when we worshipped, right? The yes, oh, ole, haya, you know, haya. And so haya actually means to be. And so what's really interesting about this word haya and the word to be is there's actually no tense in this word. And what I mean by that is when the Jews or Hebrew speakers saw this word, haya, they understood either the word meant to have no tense or it was to be used in all tenses. And so to be means to be now, to be tomorrow, and to be before. See, when God says he's the I am and he says I am to be, what he's saying is I am who I am, but I am also who I am to be now, and I'm also who I was before. See, what God was doing is he was making an incredible statement to Moses and to Israel and to say to them, I am the consistent God that I'm going to take care of you forever. See, what's really interesting about this is we see this very same thing later on in the New Testament when Jesus is described in Hebrews 13. I think it was verse 8 or something like this. And he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, God, what he was doing is, remember, in order for us to also understand this, we need to understand when God is saying this to Israel. Remember, at this time, Israel had no idea who God was. Remember when I was going through this in Exodus 1 and 2, we talked about that in their prosperity. Remember, there was about 400 years between Joseph and Moses. And in all of chapter 1 basically takes place in about 300 years. In the 300 years, God completely blesses them. They prosper. And what happens in their prosperity? They forget about God. And so actually we also see this in Moses' statement and question to God. Remember God, in verse 13, Moses says to God, I'm going to them, but what shall I say your name is? See, Moses understood that even within his people, they had forgotten about him. And so he asked, God, who do I say that you are? And God says, tell them that I am the I am. Isn't that incredibly encouraging to us, right? In the statement of God saying, I am, in the statement of saying, I am exactly who I am, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, he's reminding Israel that he is faithful to them even when they are faithless to him, right? Who do I say that you are? I am who I am, right? I am faithful. I am the one who will take care of you even when you've forgotten about me. Right? Isn't this an incredible encouragement to us? I mean, especially in a city like Hong Kong where prosperity reigns, right? In the context in which we gain everything here, I mean, in worldly sense, and oftentimes we forget about him because of our prosperity in our careers and what God's given to us, and yet God still says, I will still take care of you in your dire need, right? God is faithful to us, not only when we are faithful to him, but he is faithful to us even when we are faithless to him, right? Even in his name of I am, he's saying, I am going to remain your God till the end of time, right? No matter what you do, no matter how far you stray, no matter how long it takes you to remember me, I am going to remain your God. Now, that's the first thing, you know, that I found extremely interesting about this name. But the second thing that I found extremely interesting about the idea of I am is that when God was revealing this to Israel, he was actually revealing more than just a name. He was revealing a nature to them. And for us to understand this, we actually need to go to Exodus 34. And we'll read from verse 6 to 7. This is the first time God reveals himself in character. Okay, this is the first time when he describes himself. Now, in verse 6, he says this, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to third and fourth generations. This is the first time that God reveals himself and calls himself and reveals to Israel and says, this is the nature of who I am. Now, why is this important for us to understand the statement I am? The reason is because we have to understand the context in which God gives this statement to them. You see, in Exodus 34, just preceding it in Exodus 32, what did Israel do? Right, God had delivered them from Egypt. He opened the Dead Sea. They had crossed. And then what's the first thing they do in response to Moses going up to Mount Sinai, leaving them for a number of days and spending time with God? What do? The first thing that they do is they don't worship God. What do? They worshiped the golden calf. Right? We remember this, right? Moses takes them to Mount Sinai. He says, wait here. I'm going to go up to the mountain to get instructions for us. And then they basically, what did Aaron do? He grabs all the gold, melts it into the calf, and they worship. And so what does God do? Remember, he tells Moses, go back down there. Your people have forgotten about me. But who does he reveal himself as? He reveals himself as the gracious one, the merciful one. And from this, we see when God reveals himself to his people, he reveals himself in the context to exactly what they need. See, he revealed himself as slow to anger, compassionate, and is gracious because they had just sinned against him. They had just forgotten about him, just said, it wasn't you, God, that delivered us. It was some other God. It was this golden calf we set on a rock, right? Not you, the omnipotent one, but this bull over here. And so what did God do? He reveals himself as slow to anger because that is exactly what they needed. What he was revealing to them was, I am the one who forgives you. Now, what's interesting is when we look at the statement of I am, we notice that I am is actually a kind of open-ended. It's an incomplete statement, right? It's kind of, I mean, if you were to ask me, hey, Ricky, can you describe yourself to me? And I said, I am, right? You would say, you are what? Human? Yes, I know. You know, you are what? Nice? Or you are what? A pastor? Right? The very idea of I am is incomplete. See, what's interesting is this. What I believe God was also doing when he was giving that statement of I am is he was leaving room so that as God delivers Israel, he was leaving room for them to understand who he was by experiencing him in his power. See, in chapter 34, God revealed himself to them and they understood him because they had just sinned. Right? Because they sinned, they needed a gracious God. See, at this point, Exodus 3, remember, they didn't know who God was. They themselves didn't even know they needed a Savior. And so God, when he revealed himself, he left it so open. Really, what he was saying is, I am too big for you to understand. I'm too massive for you to fathom. And he simply says, and he gives his existential statement, I am the now, I am the past, I am the future, I am everything that you're going to need. And so what does he reveal to them throughout his time in delivering them? He reveals that, right, he is their God of peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is their God of provision, Jehovah Jireh, right? He provides for the manna in the desert, right? He provides he is their pillar of cloud. He becomes their pillar of fire because without those things, they would have died. He was their strength. He was Jehovah Nissi. He was their healer, Jehovah Rapha. And we see God become all of these things to Israel in their time in the desert. And so what God was really saying to them in the statement was, I am, was this, is when God gives, and when God reveals himself to his people, what he was really doing is he's giving himself and all of himself, the revealed self, to us as everything that we're going to need and everything that we need already. Isn't that incredible? Right? When God says, I am who I am your God, he's saying, I am everything. I will be, and I will be everything that you're going to need. Even though you don't know it yet, even though you don't really understand who I am, I'm going to be all of those things. You know, this actually for me, is even more pronounced now that I've been to Israel. If you ever get the chance to go to Mount Sinai, the journey from Sinai was incredible. You go up the mountain, you see the stars, the sunrise, you have this incredible time praying to God with the stars, all these sort of things. But really, a part that really stood out to me was actually the journey from Israel to Sinai. And the reason is, for us to get there, it's actually like a really long drive. I can't remember. Was it like 8 hours? Was it 8 hours? Something like that. It was 6 hours. Thanks, Yiling. 6 hours from Israel to Sinai. And maybe God's telling me I'm taking too long. Okay. As we go from Israel to Sinai in the 6 hours, you know what you see? Nothing. All you see is this incredible desert. And it's honestly, I've never experienced anything like this, right? It's desert in the sense of it really is barrenness. You see these high mountains and hills, and it's just rock, and it's gloomy. Honestly, when you look at it, I felt like, shoot, if I was here and I was left here, I would die. Like, it really is an incredible expanse of nothing. Hill after hill, mountain after mountain of rock, sand, and nothing. And you know, when I was on the way to Sinai, it really dawned on me. And I remember saying this to God. I said, God, I know you delivered Israel from Egypt, but if you did not come in the pillar of cloud to protect them from the sun by day, and if you did not come in the pillar of fire to keep them warm at night, and if you did not provide manna for them and water and all of these things, man, they would have been screwed. Like, you have to understand, like, a million people in this expanse of nothing, like, you gotta see it. You'll get this sense that, wow, if God did not show up, they really would have been screwed. They would have died. They would have perished within the day. They would have been dehydrated, and nothing would have been left of them. See, when God revealed himself as the I Am, he was saying, I'm going to be everything that you're going to need. That's what I Am means. And we see this actually all throughout Scripture. In fact, we see this in Old Testament, New Testament. Old Testament, we see this in Jeremiah 29:11. You know, the verse where God says, I have the plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and prosperity and give you hope. Well, although we usually get fixated on verse 11 when God talks about the plans for the future, the key is actually in Jeremiah 29:10, where God actually says, it's not in the plans that you need to hope, but it's in me. Right, he says this by telling them, I'm going to return to you. It's actually in one word, the word bring back. The word shub in Hebrew is, I'm going to bring myself fully back to you. And so what God is saying is, it's in me that you're going to have all these plans and all this hope. It is in God. When he gives himself, that's when we have everything we need. And then what's crazy is we actually also see this in the New Testament. And Jesus, in John 8:58, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. See, God declares himself as the name Jesus declares himself as the name I am. And then you know what's interesting? Books later in Philippians, what does Paul write about Jesus? Right? Do not be anxious in anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Right? In the Old Testament, God says, I am the I am, because I am is everything that you need. And then the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the I am. And then in everything, I will be the one who guards your heart and to give you peace and provide all that you need. Right? When God says, I am, he means he's going to take care of all of us with everything. He gives himself to us. And I actually think this is one of the greatest mysteries it's not really a mystery, but the part of God's character that we miss most. Because when we look at God and we often pray to him and we ask of him, what we're expecting is for him to give us something. When God asks us to pray to him, what he's saying is, I'm going to give you myself so that you can have everything. And I think this actually informs the way in which we pray. It informs the way in which we seek after him, right? No longer do we look at him. I mean, if we do really understand this, we no longer should we look at him as this vending machine of God, give me this, provide for me this. And yes, we should pray that, but the concept of God is not just God a giver, but it's God who permeates every aspect of my life and thus creates in my life everything that I need in his presence. That is the full picture of who God is. Not just the giver, but our everything. He is the great I am. Amen. So let me ask, Abby, to come up, right? Why don't we close our eyes? Who should I say that I am? And God says, who should I tell Israel that you are? God, what is your name? And God says, I am who I am. I am yesterday, I am today, I am tomorrow, and I am all those things that I said I was in those times. Right? What God was saying is, I am everything that Israel is going to need, and I'm going to give myself to them. See, God is saying exactly the same thing to us this morning. And especially in the new covenant, right? Jesus saying that I am. Jesus is everything that you're going to need. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is what you need in your families. He is what we need in our jobs. He is what we need in our relationships. He is what we need in our societies. He is what we need in the world, right? Not just programs, not just things, but Jesus. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. Who is Jesus to you? Right? And I think Matthew did a great job talking about Jesus and the resurrection, and that he died for us and he was risen. And I think to expand on that is when he died and he rose, see, it's not just that we are going to be resurrected in bodies, but the resurrection represents that Jesus is the Lord of all things, even death. And so God, Jesus, is the answer to everything, to every problem, to every need. And so as Abby leads us this morning, let's really place Jesus in that place, right? And declare, Jesus, you are all that I need. You are everything that I need. So let's pray.
Holy and anointed one, Jesus.
Keep continuing to pray. What do you need this morning? What is it that your heart cries out for? Let's let Jesus be our answer this morning. Let Him give you peace. Let Him be everything that you need. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those suffering from cancer and cancer-related issues. Let's pray for God's hand of healing over them. Let's pray that God's going to fully and completely heal their wounds. Let's pray for the families. Let's pray for His comfort. Let's pray that He's going to be everything that they need. Pray for those in need of healing, but also salvation. Let's pray for God's grace and mercy to fall on them. But most importantly, let's pray that God is going to reveal Jesus, His Son, in them so that they may believe. So let's live on. Pray for those in need of healing from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for God's healing over them as well. Let's pray for His comfort and deliverance. Let's pray. Pray for those looking for work. Let's pray for God's favor to fall on them, and let's pray that as they wait for their next mission field, that God will just reveal to them what it is that they're to do. Pray for providence as well and encouragement, as it can be difficult if it's been a long time since they found work. And so let's lift them up. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for China. Let's pray for SB Beijing and also the future SBSH plant. Let's lift up Pastor Hunsu and his family and covering over Enoch. And please pray for Steph and I and my kids as we prepare to move. Let's pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, and the churches. But let's especially pray for covering over all the churches in this tumultuous time. China is really cracking down these days, actually, especially in Shanghai, but really it's all over China. And so let's really pray that as the government tries to really cover what they're doing, that, you know, God's people will be protected and the churches will be well. And so let's lift them up. Let's lift up the board. Let's pray for Peace Sam and Sandro, Max, Jackie, Connie, Ken, Marcus, Sue, and Mon. Let's really pray for wisdom over them and pray for strength as they have to meet. Now, oftentimes they're quite late on behalf of the church. And so let's really pray that God covers them and their families and provides their needs as well. Pray for our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for young adults, Yahweh, men's ministry, women's ministry. Let's pray for men's fraternity, Pure Desire, Lift, Discipleship, the Monday Prayer Group, and Yahweh Eats. Let's pray that God really brings people closer into discipleship through these fellowship ministries, and that He will grow men and women who run after Him. So let's pray. Lastly, let's lift up SB 2.0. Let's pray that God will provide for us a new building and the resources for the new building. Let's pray for the benefactor and whoever it is that's going to be that benefactor. Let's pray for a blessing over them. Continue to pray for the Vision Fund and pray for the renovations on the third floor. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am. God, we thank you, Lord, that in you we have a God that can that not only provides for us, but God gives us himself. And so, Lord, this morning we just ask, God, will you permeate into every area and every aspect of our lives? Jesus, will you be in our homes, in our workplaces, in our relationships, God, and all that we do, Lord, in every aspect of our lives, God, that we may have your peace and your comfort, knowing, God, that you are the I am, Jesus, that having you means we have everything that we need. And so, God, I just want to pray for my friends this morning, God, that may be going through an especially difficult time. I pray that today, Lord, as they meditate on this idea of I am, God, that they will receive peace, Lord. That, God, that you will guard their hearts and minds in you yourself, Lord, as the I am. And so, Father, we lift your name up, God. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good day. Bless you guys. Enjoy your time of prayer.